Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see everybody. Glad to be back, and I'm glad that you're here. For those who are visiting, we are extremely thankful that you're here, and we hope that you stay around for a few minutes and let us get to meet you and get to know you a little bit better. Would you pray with me as we get started? Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we are so thankful for this day, and we're so thankful for this opportunity that we have to come together as your family, to sing to you and to praise you. And Father, we are humbled that we get to come into your presence. And Father, I pray that you're with us this morning as we work on our Christian lives together, the lives that we're supposed to be to others and as we're supposed to be to one another. Father, I pray your blessings upon our time together this morning. And we're so thankful that we get to worship in this manner because of the way that your Son went to the cross on us. It makes us family. And Father, I pray your blessings on our time together. And we thank you for what he's done for us on the cross. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. I have, there's a couple of people. Some things I don't generally expect to happen. I'm usually just a happy person and really get along with everybody. That's just my personality. That's kind of who I am. And you know, it really throws me off when people are speak harshly and people are abrupt. And just because that's not who I am, and I expect everybody to be like I am, and I don't know why that, but anyway, and so I expect everybody to be happy as well, because I'm generally a pretty happy guy. I've had a couple of bosses in my life. Some of you, I'm not going to call them by name, because I'm sure they wouldn't appreciate being an illustration to lead in on a sermon on talking bad about each other. But anyway, I've had a couple of bosses in my life that really threw me off. I mean, when they would come around, you never knew what was coming. You never knew how they were going to react, what kind of mood they were going to be in. I mean, it was really strange. It was really foreign to me. I had one lady, and she would come in, and boy, if you weren't doing things just right, she would chop you off at the knees. Even if you were doing something right, she would chop you off at the knees just so that you would know who was in charge. And I thought, what must a person do to be so mean? Or what must have been done to this person to be so mean in their speech, in their language, in the way that they interacted? And that wasn't just to the people that worked with her. That was even to some of the customers and the public that would come in there. And if I were a paying customer, I'm not sure that I would go back. But there are people in the world like that, aren't there? They're my second boss that I'm going to use this morning, I'm going to talk about. He was similar. You know those guys, he always wore those tall boots that had the real thick heavy heel on it, and he walked heavy on the back of his feet, and you could hear him when he got off the elevator, and it was boom, boom, boom. I was like, man, you could always tell what kind of mood he was going to be in and how he was going to speak and what his speech was going to be like, how he came off the elevator, because you could hear his walk, or you could hear his tone in his walk. And it'd be like, boom, boom, boom. And I was like, oh, no, it's going to be a bad day. Sure enough, he had opened the office door, and the office door dinged. All right, it had a dinger on it because you didn't want to be caught off guard in the office. And so the office door dinged, and it would ding, and then half a second later, boom, because it was a big, heavy door. And I was just like, man, what kind of day is this going to be? But it was his attitude, it was his speech, it was the way he was, and that wasn't just towards, I mean, that was just getting the day started. They hadn't even come to our office yet. And it always blew my mind how people could just be that way and be ugly and be in their word and their speech and their actions towards other people. You know, I never went to either one of those bosses. My pride was like, well, I'm not going to go in and I'm not going to say, have I done something to you? My pride wouldn't allow me to do that, so I had to act as if I were tougher than they were. I wasn't going to go to them, and I wasn't going to find out what the problem was. You know, my pride had a problem with both of those people. My pride kept me from taking care of things and maybe finding out what was going on and dealing with it. How do we deal with people like this? What do we do? How do we talk to them? How do we try to engage with that? It's hard, because if I ask you this morning if you've ever dealt with people like that, everybody in here would raise their hand. It doesn't matter if it was in your workplace or if it's at a restaurant or if it's at the grocery store. We deal with people like that across the board. And a lot of times we make judgments about them, don't we? We're like, well, we'll write them off. I'm not going to deal with people like that. I don't have to. And we write these people off rather than maybe getting to know them and getting to know, well, what's going on in their life to make them so foul. We see that not only outside of here. Sometimes we can see that within the church. And sometimes all it takes is a little bit of digging and a little bit of scraping to find out maybe there's something deeper going on with somebody that needs to be talked about and needs to be addressed. It's difficult, though, isn't it? It's difficult to go to people, but that's what we're called to do. That's who we're called to be. I never said it was going to be easy. I love the saying that says, when you deal with people like this, I love the saying that says, kill them with kindness. That's difficult to do today, isn't it? It's difficult to kill people with kindness and show them the love of Christ. That is not what we want to do when people treat us this way. We don't want to kill them with kindness. We want to give it back to them the way that they delivered it. We shouldn't be surprised that people are going to be this way. We shouldn't be surprised that people are going to deal with us in this manner. But I think there's ways that we can deal with them. There's ways that we can talk to them. And that's even, I'm not just talking about people outside of the church. I'm talking about people in the church. This is going to happen. It's going to happen to us. It has happened to us. And it breaks my heart to say, but I've had people that are Christians treat me in the same way as people who are not. It's going to happen. Sometimes I like the word, I like to use the word, I like the word sift people. Like a rancher sifts his cows. You know what that means? If we ranch, you sift your cows, you get the good ones and you get the bad ones out. And so you categorize those cows. You got the good ones over here, you got the bad ones over here. I also think, when I think about sifting, I think about those people in here who are bakers. You sift your flour so you can make it better. The stuff that's left in the sifter, it gets thrown out. Right? You don't want to keep that. You don't want that going into your recipe. Sometimes I'm that way with people. Sometimes we can be that way with people. We can sift them. We don't want to deal with the stuff that's left over. I think our pride steps in and tells us we're not going to allow them to be that way. We're not going to allow them to hurt us anymore. I think one of the greatest issues with pride is that we tend to look at others finding fault with them. It filters out the goodness that's found in others. And we can find ourselves sifting people in the same manner as a rancher sifts a cow or a baker sifts her flour, and throw out the rest, throw out the stuff that we don't like, throw out the stuff that's least desirable. But before we start sifting people, I want to talk about what James had to say. And this is about taming the tongue. He starts in there, but in James chapter 3, about those who teach. But I want to look at something a little bit more closer here, because he also says something there about being a perfect man. And when I look out into this crowd, I don't see one perfect person sitting here. Not one. When I look at people that I pass on the street, those people that have talked harshly to me in the past, I look at those people and I don't see one perfect person. I only think of one person who is perfect. And he was the one that was willing to go to the cross for you and for me. And so before I start sifting, I'm preaching as much to myself as I am to anybody else. before I start making, before I start sifting people and deciding who I am and who I'm not going to deal with, look at James chapter 3. And I think we know that people are going to be this way inherently. As we think about the way people talk to us, and I want to focus on that because in my experience, that is what's happened to me, is how people have talked and how they've acted towards me. And so I want to look in James chapter 3. He talks about taming the tongue. Turn with me, if you will, if you will, to James chapter 3. We'll start the first couple of verses. In James chapter 3, he says, "Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly." Verse 2, "We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check." You know, back then, teaching was, in a Jewish time, it was a highly, highly valued and highly respected position for people to teach. But he says here, starting in verse 2, says, "We all stumble in many ways." That's all of us, isn't it? We all stumble in many ways. It means we all stumble in our deeds, in our word, and in our speech, especially to even towards one another. And yes, that means that we stumble in our speech. He says, "We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man." I want to be the first one to raise my hand and say, "I am not perfect. I am not. There are things that I know that I will do wrong, that I will speak wrong." Romans chapter 3, verse 23 reminds me that we've all sinned. So we all have fault. We all have problems. We all stumble in many different ways. He says, if anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. From looking at the beginning of this passage, and James, this is Jesus' brother now, is making some statements about pertaining to those who teach. He says those people are going to be judged more strictly, doesn't he? But he also says that you and I, those people are going to, we're all going to stumble in many ways. Who's he talking about? Is he just talking about the teachers? I don't think he's just talking about the teachers. I think he's talking about all of us. We all have faults. Sometimes he's going to transition here into, we all have faults. We all have trouble controlling our tongue from time to time. And I'm not just talking. I want to clarify something here. I'm not talking just about using foul language. I'm not talking about controlling our tongues and using foul language. I do think that's part of it. But I think in our day and time, I think he's talking about the way that we talk, the way that we are, the way that we speak to one another, the way that we speak to people outside the church. That's what he's talking about. The point I want to get across to us is this, is that we need to watch the way that we speak. That we're not perfect, but we need to be careful. On the flip side of that, those people who hear, we need to be careful in deciphering what people say to us. Sometimes, and I have been guilty of this, I have been guilty of saying things to people that in their perception I was being harsh. That happens too, doesn't it? And really, I wasn't. I wasn't being harsh in what I was saying. It was just the way that it was conveyed, the way that it was spoken. And so we have to be careful on both sides of this coin. James 3, verses 3 through 8, we see that this is going to happen. My question is, what is our reaction going to be? What are we going to do about it when people speak this way and act these ways towards us? I think we need to know something about the tongue, don't we? We need to know how vicious it is. James chapter 3, verses 3 through 8, he says this. He said, "When we put bits into the mouths of our horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire. and is itself set by fire, set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. What's our reaction going to be? I think first we need to know about the tongue, don't we? He says a lot of things there about the tongue. Examples of, listen to the power the tongue has, how small it is. It's not very long. Just like the small bit that goes into the horse's mouth, you're able to control him. I know we have horse people in here. That makes a lot of sense to me. You think about that small bit that you stick in their horse's mouth and you're able to move him, make him go where he goes. Those people who like boats, you think about a small rudder. A rudder is a very small part of the boat, but yet it's so powerful. And what it does, it takes that boat wherever the pilot, whoever's driving that boat wants to go. You want to go left, you go left. You want to go right, you go right. The tongue is very powerful. Such a small, one of the smallest parts of the body, but yet it is so strong. The tongue is able to make great boasts and can do great things. But also, the tongue can start great fires. Sometimes when people speak to us and talk to us, they start great fires, don't they? Whether intentional or unintentional. What's our reaction going to be to that? Matthew chapter 5, Jesus tells us that if we know somebody has something against us, we're to go to that person. We're to leave our gift at that altar and go make it right if your brother has something against you. How difficult is that for us to be rather than just sifting them and throwing them to the side? How difficult is it for us to go and make things right? It's very hard. You don't see it very often in the church, in my experience. But you know, when you do, I think it is so healing. When people go to one another, when fires have been started, people go to one another and they say, look, I may have started a fire with you because of the things that I've said or my actions. It is so healing when that takes place. Sometimes we need to think before we speak. We need to think about what could happen. I think if you were to get with any of the guys who are firemen in this place, ask them about the fires that they go put out. Most all the fires that they're going to go put out, all start with a little bitty spark. All start with a little flip of a switch, don't they? That's how we are. That's how our tongue is. It can do great damage. It does great damage in the church, and it does great damage in our relationships towards one another and towards those people that we come in contact with. In the right conditions, the tongue can make a great fire. As James compares this to a raging fire, he also goes in and he talks about the animals. He makes a statement here talking about all kinds of animals. Think about animals. Think about the circus. Look at the things that have been tamed. This is how strong and powerful the tongue is. Look at the things that have been tamed at the circus and the places that you may go, or at the zoo. Maybe the zoo may not be so tame, but no man can tame the tongue, he says. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. We should know that the tongue will be something that we as people are going to contend with from now on. It's going to be something that we contend with from now on. Speech, the way people act towards us. My question for us this morning is, how are we going to react to it? I think as Christians, we have a responsibility to react different from what the rest of the world is going to react. We need to get rid of our pride. The pride that keeps us from going to others and saying, look, you said this, how did you mean it? Or look, you said this and this is how I took it. What holds us back from doing that, I think, is pride. James chapter 3, verses 9 through 12. The tongue has many jobs. He said, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. How do we praise our Lord and Father in one way and then we curse men in another, coming out of the same mouth? I think we need to stop and listen by the way that we speak to one another, the way that we speak to others, the way that we hear what's being spoken to us. It is good for us to monitor our speech. It's good for us to monitor the inflection that we have when speaking to other people, because we may be speaking in a way that's maybe being heard and it's not really what you intended. We need to be careful about the way our message is received. Because out of the same mouth that we praise our Lord and Father, the same mouth also we're cursing men. We're talking bad about men. But we also need to do this. We also have to remember, how can we act one way with one group of people and another way to others? I think this is the concept I see there. How is it that we allow our pride to act one way with one group of people and one way with other groups of people? James said this should not be. We should be consistent in the way that we talk both to God and to other people. It should be our consistent in our lives. Some may tell us that, well, they may have said that, we just need to go on and forgive them. I would agree with you 100%. Problem is our human nature doesn't always allow us to do that. Our human nature doesn't always allow us to hear things being spoken and say, oh, well, I'll just forgive them and I'll just sprinkle some grace on it and call it good. Our human nature doesn't always allow us to do that. We bury things like this and we hold it inside and we tend to write people off. We have to set aside our pride that is in us, that keeps us from addressing or seeing faults in others. And yes, that may be that someone speaks to us or treats us unfairly. We find faults in others that filters out the goodness in them. Sometimes we refuse to see people as if they have any worth. We stumble in many ways, don't we? As James was saying in the beginning of this, we stumble in many ways. And that means in our speech. That means in our actions towards one another. As I was reading through this, I kept trying to think and I kept trying to boil this down to one lesson, really, but I think it's for two. For those people who may speak, we need to be careful of the speech. For those people who are hearing, we need to be careful the way we hear, because things may not be intended the way that they're spoken. We need to be careful about sifting people. Be careful in not throwing them away because somebody may speak to us harshly. I've been guilty of doing that. If you've been guilty of doing that, go make it right. It's easy enough. Just go to that person. It may not be pride. You may have to put your pride aside. But go make it right. This morning, if you're here, if you need anything from our elders, if you need prayers from them, or if you need to place Christ on in baptism, would you come while Darren leads us in a song?